Welcome back to Sight to the Blind. First, let me start off with that little false flag that happened at Temple Israel up in Michigan. And this is how truly pathetic these people are. Brother Sam, who is a listener of the show, sent me, because he lives in Dearborn, Michigan, sent me a, I think it's a Facebook post of a active shooter prevention network. The Facebook post, which reads, January 30th, FBI Detroit led an active shooter attack prevention and preparedness called ASAP training for the clergy and staff of Temple Israel in West Bloomfield. The FBI course combines lessons learned from years of research and employs scenario-based exercises to help participants practice the decision-making process of the run, hide, fight principles and take necessary actions for survival. We appreciate them for having us. So possibly what you saw could have been a drill that they already did or finished January 30th. And you know I have to do my due diligence with numerology. So I looked up that date and then the distance between that date and the date that we know of, which was Friday, March 13th. It was 1 month, 1 week, and 6 days. If you turn that upside down, that is 9/11. So we could have been possibly watching their drill. It made us think that, oh, this was happening Friday, March 13th. And I thought it was kind of funny because right after, one of the clergymen said, no, we're going to return to business as usual, because they have like a couple of events that are this weekend. And he was like, no, we're going to continue to be open. I mean, you know how scary these individuals are. There's no way they would have milked this and cried about it all the way till they had funding for it, or even made a GoFundMe for it. They would have ran with this for the next week or two before opening back up again. But they went back business as usual. So it must have happened January 30th and not actually Friday, March 13th. So it shows you that all this hate that they're trying to say that people dislike Jews, it's forced, because everybody's almost on the same algorithm, same frequency. It's not like in the 70s and 80s where all the programming and cell phone usage and frequency was beaten the same. That's why we had so many serial killers back then. Because one, crime was out of control, because you could actually get away with certain stuff for decades, or at least the 30 to 40 years. Nowadays, you ain't getting away with nothing. There can't be real serial killers out here no more. Where everybody have a cell phone in their hand, everybody running and telling everything they see on Twitter, TikTok, or Instagram. Like Bundy, he would have been caught quick. He wouldn't even be able to make it into that girl's dormitory that he did up in Florida State. He wouldn't even make it. He wouldn't even got close into that building, because somebody would have saw, somebody would have heard, somebody would have took pictures. And we know if it wasn't controlled by the CIA or the government, it would have shown that it would have been a ritual or a psyop or something like that. It would just get exposed like it's getting exposed today. So they're trying to force this domestic terrorism, and it's not looking good. Just like the black guy from out of West Africa who was a Muslim that supposedly had a problem with what the United States is doing over in the Middle East. A clean-shaven Muslim. A clean-faced shaven Muslim from a different continent comes over with property of Allah as a shirt just to reinforce his message, and then he goes shoot up random people at a bar. It don't even make sense. Like, they're not even getting as much people for increased trauma. Like, usually Oklahoma City bombing, like it's dozens of people to make a point. Two or three people and then four or five people injured ain't really making a point. But it's them forcing these rituals, these little psyops and these little events to happen to get you upset at each other. And eventually it won't work anymore. I read a thing in I think it was the Willie Lynch, the letters of Willie Lynch. I think it's at the end of his letter, he said, the one thing that the slave or the plantation owners would have to fear is the fact that the human mind has the ability to recorrect itself. That you can only beat somebody down for so long. You can only fool somebody for so long until their brain recorrects itself and starts to see the truth and then breaks away from the conditioning. It's only but so long you can destroy somebody's mind. I think that's what's happening now. It's only but so much you could take as a person. When your back is up against the wall, it's but so much you could take before you, if you are a docile person, start coming out swinging. Everyone has this, when they're pushed to it, I think has a fight response. If pushed, if continually pushed. You've seen those videos online when kids fight in school and it's always some bully messing with a kid that everybody knows doesn't fight. And then eventually he finds some type of courage or bravery within himself when he's put on the spot to start swinging. If he has never swung his fist ever in life, but you see him swing his fist, it's like that. So now everything is crumbling right in front of people's faces. So they know it's the synagogue of Satan trying to force these little rituals so Christians can be mad at Muslims, white folk be mad at black folk, vice versa. It's just enough distraction, but the distraction is not even holding because people's minds are all over the place. They can't stick to one thing. Like the Rodney King thing, that lasted for at least a month. OJ Simpson trial, that lasted. I mean, that still lasts for a long period of time. Back when there was no cell phones and nothing like that. That's all you saw on TV. That was the entertainment. That programming lasts longer than any programming they can force upon us now because it's getting exposed too quickly. Even those of people who aren't even in the truth are seeing it. There was a video of Benjamin Netanyahu doing a speech. I already knew it was kind of fake looking because I was looking at the flags and it just didn't sit right. And then somebody pointed out that during his speech, he had six fingers and then he had missing teeth and his teeth reappeared. So they're saying that he is already dead, but I don't think so. I think they're just trying to see if the AI is working. They want to see if AI is going to work. I think the Antichrist is going to use this AI to come back from this head wound. I think that's why they set up this Donald Trump get shot in the ear thing and him coming back. It's like they're programming you with this head wound that they know is going to happen because it's in scripture. So they know and believe in that what the word says is going to happen. They have to program you with it to make you think like, oh, this is something that we thought of and not something that's in scripture. So this head wound that the Antichrist or the beast could endure could actually be just AI, that we see it as AI. And then when he pops back up on the screen, we'd be like, oh, okay. But people are already being fooled by AI anyway. People are pranking each other, the shirtless plumber or the massage therapist or the female, and all they're doing is using prompts and taking pictures with themselves and their real surroundings using AI. And people are having a ball taunting their wives, their husbands, their children, or whatever, using AI. So people are already there. And for some reason, AI can't handle hands for some reason. Or these AI engines that they use have a problem with fingers and toes. So them releasing this video, they were really confident that the people wouldn't catch that he would have six fingers on each hand sometimes and then sometimes have teeth, sometimes don't have teeth in one particular area. So now they got to go back and change up the AI engine. But I don't know if he's dead or not. I don't think so. I think somebody, a figure like that, he has to have like some type of Masonic death. It has to be on 33 or 666 or connected to some event before they tell you that that's what happened to him. But we haven't seen him since that AI video, so we don't know. Iran is bragging that they killed him. I don't know. I don't see how, if they know this person is who they need to bring in the Antichrist, why wouldn't they have him protected or secured? I mean, especially when we know that the work is not yet done. But it's above my pay grade. Now, before I get into the message, a brother asked me, and I've said this before, of what happened to me or what I went through when I was in isolation. So I'll say it to the new listeners when I went through my isolation. When the Most High separates you, you will go through a period of mourning. So being close to my family, and it's the only people I was really even close to, I started being separated from them by mourning them, which means it'd be random times I'd be driving home or I'd be sitting in the house and I'm thinking about my parents and I'm crying. And I couldn't understand it. Like, I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, nothing is wrong with me. Like, I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't drunk. It'd be middle of the day driving home somewhere and then I'm just tearing up. And then the Most High wanted me to mourn the connection with my parents for a time so he could start to raise me and bring me up in his truth. That's when the adoption, I would say not the isolation, I would say the adoption process. When the Most High has chosen you for a purpose, the adoption process has to happen. So he's taking me away from my home, he's bringing me into his house, saying that I'm going to raise you now. Almost the same thing what Abraham did when Terah, his father, wanted to destroy him, and Terah sent him to live with Noah and Shem. And that's how Abraham knew about Yahuwah through Noah and Shem. So he was separated from his family for a long period of time until he almost became a man. Because Nimrod was told by his magicians, his priests, that there would be a son, a man that would come into this realm, come into this earth, and destroy his entire kingdom. And so when I went through that process, I didn't talk to my parents at all. Like I blocked them from everything. Even my dad tried to here and there reach out to me, but I just wasn't ready. My brother and sister, they're twins. There were some things that they were posted on Facebook that I didn't like, and that made me step away from them altogether. Not much so my sister, but just my brother was just going ham with the Facebook post of his new his I think his one it was like his 7 or 8 month old or his 1 year old or whatever, my nephew. And he kept posting pictures of him naked. Like just randomly, like if they were by the Christmas tree, he'd be in the picture naked. Or it would be like he on the toilet seat doing a potty training lesson, just naked. I'm like, why do you keep posting this stuff? And I had to, I t got it taken down. But that's why I was like, their minds is not where I'm at. Their spirituality is not where I'm at or where I'm trying to be. So I distanced myself from them for like at least 3 to 4 years. So in that isolation process, yes, I was going back and forth, 1 foot in Yah's world, 1 foot in this world, and I was still going out. I was drinking, still doing drugs, and then trying to read scripture at the same time. So I was battling in between those stages, and that's what is needed when you go through an isolation process or an adoption process. He has to pull that stuff out of you. You don't just snap your fingers and be like, okay, now I'm all for Yahuwah. It don't work that way. Not at all. So if you're going through that process, don't think that, okay, now I'm learning the truth. All your old habits and what you did in the world is just going to vanish as soon as you accept the Torah. No, you battle with your flesh and your ruach, which is what Paul talked about. It's almost like a never-ending fight. It's when your flesh gets louder when you're in that adoption process. Because it's telling you, no, 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 don't leave us. No, 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 we need you. You need us. Remember all the times we made you feel good? And I joke about this all the time, is that when you know you're on the right path, is when you start getting the ESPN top 10 highlights of sin. All the great times you had. And that's what your mind becomes saturated with. Is all the fun you had in your flesh. And you try to go back and read the word for a little bit. Your eyes get heavy and you doze off and you fall asleep. That's when your ruach is dim and your flesh is loud and bright. So you go through that process. And then for some of you young men, if you're trying to court or find relationships that you're trying to perform righteously in, you're going to go back and between how you would deal with a relationship in the world and how you're supposed to deal with a spiritual relationship. I was blessed enough to have a practice run before I got to the main event. I had 4 or 5 years of practice before I got to the real show. That, especially when you come from relationships where you are the cheater or the abuser, physically, verbally, emotionally, so forth, you need to go through a process. And the Most High was very patient with me through that process. So the only person I had in my corner was the relationship I was in, my daughter, and Yah. That was it. As far as my friends, I ended up distancing myself from them because they worked in the industry. And I understood I can't control my alcohol. I couldn't control my drinking when I was around them because they like to drink. And I thought it was like back in 2007, 2006 when I was hanging with them that I was the one that could drink them under the table. But when I attempted to go out with them or be around them, my tolerance for alcohol wasn't even there because I was still in the word. I was praying. I was going through that process of leaving worldly behaviors behind. And when I tried to step back into it, it was destruction for me. I remember I went to a cruise. I think it was some island I went to, some Caribbean island we went to that was real close to Miami. And when we were there, I think it was almost around spring break. When we were there, we were drinking, having a good time. And I know myself, like, if I drink too much, that beast is going to come out. And sure enough, after I got too drunk, it was time to leave. When you get me to stay still, that's when I start getting antsy. So I was talking all out of line. I was about to argue. I was about to get left by the cruise ship because I was arguing with the security people that said, don't be on your phone. Don't do this. Don't do that. And I had a problem with the dude that was telling everybody this because he kept yelling and screaming it. So I almost not made it on back to the cruise ship. When I got to the cruise ship, I was so drunk then I couldn't even walk. So they had to carry me back to their apartment for me to rest, lay on the couch, wake up, and then leave. But I was embarrassed. I ruined everybody's time because I went out there for a birthday, I believe. I ruined everybody's time because at the end of it, that's when I was like, okay, I can't be around these people anymore. I can't do the old way anymore because one, it's embarrassing, not only to them, but to me, to Yah, and it could have went the wrong way. I could have been still stranded in the Bahamas or wherever we went. I could have been still there. I could have been in jail again. I wouldn't have been able to pick up my daughter. The mother of my child at the time, she could have easily gone to the court and said, okay, this person can't handle himself. You need to give me more custody than he has. A lot could have happened. That's what was running through my mind. So I was like, okay, I got to stop this. So that's when I concentrated more on Yah. I concentrated and sought out scriptures that would change who I was. That's what you have to do. When you're in that process and you go and ask or beg, expose me. The Most High is not going to expose you like we expose Freemasons, Prince Hall Freemasons, and Black Greek organizations and politicians. No, it's not like that. When you ask the Most High to expose you, he will do it in private. He will do it in secret. So only you and him know. The embarrassment will be felt internally and not externally. So when you ask, please expose me and tell me what I need to do. It'd be scriptures you find, be like, oh, I laugh at it now, but when you go through it, it makes you feel really bad. He humbles you. But then after you get to that point, that spiritual rock bottom, then he builds you back with stories that you have not read before. That's why I love the book of Yasher when I started reading about the life of Yehuda. This is when he gives you jubilees, when he gives you the blessings of Abraham and Yitzhak, and even the blessings of Yasharel. Then he rebuilds you. It's like, this is where you come from. This is how I need you to act. And if anybody looked up to an idol or your father before, it's real easy for you to go from one thing to another, especially when you're searching. If for myself, if I've always looked up to my father, I could just remove that idol worship or not remove that worship and put it to a heritage or put it to a character. And it's okay, this is what I need to be. This is who I look up to. I don't need to see this man face to face. I just need to follow what he did. That begins the closing end of your adoption process. Because then the Most High is going to bless you through doing things the right way. Even when you suffer through your flesh here and there, he lets you know, okay, you fail this time. But when you do something right, okay, I'm going to increase you when you do it right. So I want you to know that I'm with you. Now, I'm not going to leave you unpunished, but I'm going to touch you with a little bit of judgment so you know I'm real. So you know that I can flip all this over for you if you don't stay on this path. But when you stay on my path, this is what you could get. This is what you will see. These are the promises that I have promised you before the day you were born. So that's how that process goes. It's not based on any time period. So don't think, oh, 4 weeks, like a boot camp and I'm good. Nah, it's not like that. It's every single day. Every single day. And then eventually you'll hit a flow state. So right now I'm in my flow state of seeing the scriptures I need to see, doing the ordinances I need to do, the statutes I need to see to do and perform all of it. I'm in a good flow state right now. My mind is not attacked with fleshly desires. I don't think much about my past life. I'm always going forward. When you're on fire, you're on fire. And you try to stay in that fire as long as possible, long as needed. Especially during this time. But it all comes from that process of changing or purging yourself from old habits. And then eventually, all the people that have walked away from you come back. Eventually. I'm trying to, just because... They have to see the world just like you saw the world, except you saw it first. You endured the change first. See, everybody else who's not enduring the change or not attempting to purge because they don't believe that anything is wrong with them, they know something is not right with this world. So all the things if you have said, if you have ever mentioned any conspiracy theories to them or you have demonstrated that you are walking differently because of the world, they take notice of that. They're saying, okay, this is not somebody who's completely changed. Like, I still know this person. They're doing certain things that are saving their ruach, or they're doing certain things that are making them a better person. That's how they see it. At first, they were in fear of it because they thought you were too good for them. Or they thought you were in a cult, or they thought something completely different because they only known you for being wicked. They only known you for being unrighteous. And nobody wants to lose an unrighteous and wicked friend because it doesn't make you feel bad for being who you are. Only when you rise in righteousness and uprightness do you make other people who are in unrighteousness feel uncomfortable. When your light shines and everybody finds out their light is falsified light, that their light is in-house light, manufactured light, it makes them uncomfortable. Especially in their mind, saying that, okay, this person was way wicked than I am. This person is way more unrighteous than I am. They can't control their liquor. They can't control their drugs. How is now his or her light shining brighter than mine? That makes anybody uncomfortable. But eventually, once they come to at least the understanding of your light and say, okay, they obviously are choosing a path that I just can't mess with, but I respect it. They come back. My brother and sister came back. My mother and father came back. After 3.5 years, they came back. We came back together. They understood. I put them in my wedding as part of my ceremony to do blessings. Me and my mother, to this day, we do a Bible study almost every single, I would say 95 to 99% of the time, we're doing Bible study every Thursday. If I don't do it on Thursday, I do it on Friday. We send scriptures to each other, which we call the word of the day. For the last 2 years, we have done word of the day. She goes one day, I go the other. Every single morning. And then we miss, when it gets to like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, we hit each other with, where's that word? But that's what we do every single day. We haven't done this ever in our lifetime. And I was raised in the church. My mother goes to church. Not so much now because I got her into the Sefer. It's been a great process, especially with my mother. She went from Jesus Christ capitalizing Lord and God, like that meant anything, to now she's talking about Yahuwah, Yahusha, and she says this more fluently now than she's ever done in her life. And sometimes she catches herself, like she goes, oh Lord, and she catches herself. I don't bring it up because I don't want to embarrass her, but I know she catches herself now. She knows what I'm doing and how I do feast days, because she'll ask me. It's like, oh, this is the feast day. We will read the Book of Maccabees and it mentions Sukkot. He's like, oh, this is what you were doing, right? I was like, yeah, I did the Feast of Sukkot because I'm in the seventh month. But that's the beautiful part of the adoption process. Now he is allowing your light to shine and touch the hearts of those who he also would want to bring into his understanding of this is the power of Yahuwah. The only way, I mean, we can see his power in multiple ways, but as far as his children, this is why he said that we would be a light to the other nations. In order for us to be the light of the other nations, we would have to be obedient to his word. And when we're obedient to his word, he will allow us to have more light. He wants us to be the demonstration, the example that he is real, that he is up there. Especially for those who don't understand his power or understand his light. Because people still fooled by this disillusion that we come from apes, that this world is billions and billions of years old. Despite evidence that goes against it. But this is what people are indoctrinated with. And so they're forcing themselves to turn against Yahuwah and his creation because they believe what man said. No one's ever investigated fossil fuels. No one's invested that. Everything we know and learn have came out of a man's mouth. But somehow somehow people who are atheists or don't believe in the Most High Yahuwah, they say, well, you got to prove that he's up there. But how can you prove that this world is by listening to another man's story, by another man's research, another man investigating for you and say, oh, the Bible was written by man. Every book that we have ever read in school was written by man. But man has not prophesied anything. Predictive programming and prophesying is two different things. Man can predict the program, what he's going to do, but the Most High has prophesied what he has done, what he will do, and the children that he would do it to. I have never seen an atheist use a particular scripture or say, this is why the Bible's fake. I have only seen opinions and feelings. One black guy is on his every post has been about atheism. Every post has been about questioning the Most High Yahuwah. And one of these things that he said that was ignorantly said, he said, oh, "How would I? Why would I want to trust somebody who believes in fearing eternal punishment if they don't act right?" I'll say, okay, you don't trust somebody for attempting to be good and righteous and upright, but you're saying you would trust somebody who would be a rapist, a murderer, a liar, a Luciferian, a Satanist, who believe in doing whatever they want to you and not fearing eternal judgment. You'd rather be friends with those people? But that's him trying to hate the Most High into finding some revelation in his spirit to be like, okay, this is why I hear you talking, but this is who I am. He thinks that moment is going to happen. I think that's what all atheists think is going to happen. That they talk about how there is no God, that everything is fake, everything is by man, and the depression of why people starve and why all these murderers happen and why the system is the way it is. And without the understanding, they like God could change all of this for us and he won't do it. He could make sure no one's starving, yet he won't do it. So basically people are like children. They want no responsibility or the accountability of what they created as far as mankind upon this earth and how mankind treats the other person. They want to be removed of their free will. The free will that they so desperately fought to have and so pissy about because they don't want to do the 600 some laws of scripture. They want the free will, but they want to be as children. They don't want to be treated like adults. They want, as soon as bad things happen, that God comes down with his hand and fixes it. If that was the case, he would keep putting his hands down here. We wouldn't learn nothing. We would still be as children because we know if somebody up there is going to not spank us or punish us for what we've done, but correct it. That's what atheists want. They want to see something be done. They want to see miracles. They will see miracles. They will see judgment, but they'll be on the ass end of it. But I'll come back to that. I'll come back to that because I want to get into the scripture of Ezra later. But I was reading, because I'm in the 7th month going into the 8th month, I'm going to read 1 Kings 12. This is about the King Jeroboam. After Solomon, because of his idol worship with these women, because he was a simp and a hoe, he ripped the kingdoms apart. And so Jeroboam, who was trying to be a righteous man to Solomon, and he was given the kingdom after Solomon destroyed it. For some reason, Jeroboam was righteous at the time. And then eventually over time, because you can't get everybody power. Not everybody knows what to do when they have power. Like they say, if you really want to test a man's character, give him everything and give him nothing and see what happens. So in 1 Kings 12, 26, Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of Yahuwah at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Adonai, even unto Rahab, king of Yehuda. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Yehuda." Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, your Elohim, O Yasharel, which brought you up out of land of Mizraim." So again, he goes back to making calves of gold. The king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold, not one, but 2, and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem." He's saying, don't go up there. This goes back to why I believe the land is so important. Because when people was going to offer, when people was going to come back to righteousness, they made that trip, that pilgrimage back to Jerusalem. They could have just stayed where they was. It's like, okay, we'll just worship Jerusalem or worship Yahuwah from here. No, they wanted to go back because they know that's where the Most High has put his name, his glory, his presence in Jerusalem. I don't think people understand that, especially when they get in these arguments about the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere. The Most High has never placed his name in the Northern Hemisphere. He has never placed his presence in the Northern Hemisphere. When he led the children out of Mizraim, he was with them. He brought them to Mount Sinai, but he said, you're going to put this ark here. He didn't leave the Ark of the Covenant in Mizraim. He didn't leave the Ark of the Covenant to heathen nations. He didn't leave the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the Middle East. If that's what he wanted, that's where he would have put it. But no, he wanted it near Yerushalayim. He said, behold, your Elohim, O Yasharel, which brought you up out of the land of Mizraim. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Yehuda. Now, I couldn't find any other feasts that were going on during the eighth month on the 15th day. So I don't know what the feast of Yehuda would entail. I'm still looking into that. But it's interesting that even in his wickedness, he wanted to confuse the Israelites or Yasharel and getting them to stay with him to worship the two calves. But he used the ordinances that I mentioned in scriptures before. When it says the moon is the sign of feasts, a light that decreases in her perfection. And I said, what is her perfected state? I said, it's the full moon. So this is Jeroboam trying to make a feast to two golden calves using the 15th day of the month. Why? Because the moon is full. Because the moon is a sign of feasts. The three major feast days, Passover, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Pesach starts 14th to eat at the evening, but the Feast of Matzah is on the 15th day. The Feast of Weeks is on the middle of the week, the middle of the month. That's the 15th day. Yitzhak was born in the middle of the month, the 15th of the third month. Sukkot, it starts on the 15th day of the seventh month. If you look at the moon phase, continually, regardless of when we picked up this calendar or whatever year we are in, every single year, these feast days need to be on the full moon every single year. If you're doing the calendar right, every single year, that moon is full. The moon is full on the 14th and the 15th day, every single time, without fail. Even when we have lost 10 days because the time is being sped up, and the moon has changed its ordinances, if you are doing the calendar right, that moon and those feast days will be the same. It will be a full moon. So Jeroboam is using Yasharel understanding to fool them into worshiping two calves by doing a feast to these two calves when the moon is full. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Yasharel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Again, another ordinance and statutes that we used as Israelites of burning incense, ascending smoke offerings, drink offerings, oblations. And this is what the Most High talks against in Scripture multiple times when the Israelites start going into other people's nations using their religious practices. They didn't learn ascending smoke offering, burnt offerings, oblations, drink offerings, burning incense at the altar and creating an altar. They didn't learn that from these other nations. The Most High told them, this is what the altar you should make. You should make an altar like this, and you should have these ordinances and statutes for these ascending smoke offerings. They were like, okay, we're looking at these other nations to see how they're doing their altars, doing their rituals, their sacrifices. Okay, oh, it's no different from us. And I don't see the Most High dealing with them the way he deals with us. So they thought, okay, We should just worship their gods because ain't nothing happening to them. The Most High is not destroying them. He's destroying us. So why are we worshiping a God that continually destroys us for trying to do the same ordinances and statutes, and we have to live righteously, but they're not living righteously, and the Most High is not even touching them? I know that's what the Israelites would have thought. But the Most High said, this is the reset. If you don't get rid of these neighboring nations around you, they will be a snare unto you. He said that would happen, and it happened. This is the reason why I said a lot. There are some Israelites who are going back into the world. They don't see the blessings. They only see the hardship. They only see the suffering. They only see that this world is not being judged, or the people in their life or people around them that are following contrary to the scripture, to the Torah, are not being dealt with. But those who are struggling to stay on this path, this righteous path, are being dealt with more. So they're turning from this righteous way, this upright way, because they feel like, okay, if I turn against him, I bet you nothing happens to me, because nothing is happening to the people that are around us that are wicked and unrighteous. I think a lot of people thought that when they woke up into this, as we all did, we thought that as soon as we woke up to who we were, everybody would be judged. Everybody who wouldn't follow in our way, will get in these statues, these commandments, these feast days, would be judged. We thought Christianity would take a nosedive soon as we woke up as children or his children. They don't. I mean, it's happening, but it's not happening the way we thought it would happen. We have this microwave mentality that, okay, as soon as we're done with something, it should be judged. And forget that we lived most of our lives in sin and unrighteous behavior. And even he didn't deal with us that way. Even when we were in our ignorance. Now, people who are still in their ignorance don't know what they're doing. That's why Yahushua was at the cross saying, forgive them, they know not what they do. They never got to see the truth, walk in the truth, learn the truth. This is how the Most High, like children that are blind and ignorant. He loves his creation enough to be like, okay, there's going to be a time where I'm going to wake up everybody, but it's going to be on my time. I still need people asleep to work certain purposes. I still need people attached to this world in order for the world to get to where I need it to get to show my presence, to show my power. We have to look at it that way. But certain Israelites don't look at it that way because they think about themselves. They thought as soon as they're going to get blessed, that means they wouldn't get a better house, a better car. They thought the blessings were going to pour as soon as we woke up to who we were. We were going to get a whole land by ourselves. We were going to get ready to leave. And this whole right of return, that as soon as 400 years was up, we're going to pack our bags, head to the goodly land, and be able to live without oppression, without people bothering us. And people got upset that it didn't happen that way. I told you before, this walk is about being consistent and enduring. Your endurance has to be top tier, and your consistency has to be on point. And you see throughout scripture, the Israelites struggled with consistency. Fourth book of Ezra, chapter 7, verses 19 through 29. There is no judge above Elohim. There is no judge above Yahuwah, and none that has understanding above the Most High. For there be many that perish in this life, because they despise the Torah of Yahuwah that is set before them. For Yahuwah has given straight commandment to such as came what they should do to live, even as they came, and what they should observe to avoid punishment. Nevertheless, they were not obedient unto him, but spoke against him and imagined vain things, and deceived themselves by their wicked deeds, and said the Most High that he is not, and knew not his ways. Just like these black atheists that are popping up all over TikTok right now. Maybe because my algorithm, I made a comment on one, so all of a sudden the algorithm changes for me, where all in my FYP is Negro atheists talking about Christianity and trying to deconstruct Christianity as if it's the truest religion out there to make their argument. And I just laugh. I was like, it's laughable because they don't have all the facts and all the information. But his Torah have they despised and denied his covenants. In his statutes have they not been faithful and have not performed his works. Now, he's not saying it's the people who obviously don't know of the Torah. He's saying it's people who are privy, who are, have understanding or have known that there is a Bible, that there is a doctrine. This is, which is the reason why he is calling his children back to be a light and judgment to the other nations. Because the more we say and talk about the Most High Yahuwah and his statutes, his ordinances, his feast days, his Torah, is leaving people with no, is no way out. This is what you should wish on your enemy if you have enemies. In almost like a, for me, a petty sense of, I want you to not believe me. I want you to be like, okay, I see this truth, but I'm going to turn from it. Which makes me want to tell the people the truth more. This is what's going to happen to you. So I'm giving people, I would like to give people no way out. So you, when you, on your judgment day, you can't say, nobody told me. The Most High is going to bring up, oh yeah, my servant told you. You saw a post on this date, on this time, at this year, and you scoffed at it. So you do know of what I told this servant to say to you. This is why I love this part of this walk. Because you know, that's why the Most High, that's why Yahushua said, you know, love your enemies, you know, turn the other cheek and all that. Because they know the truth. The proximity to you is you walking in this truth. In order for them to smite you, in order for them to hate you, they have to know exactly who you are. They have to know what you follow, who you worship, the ordinances and statutes and feast days that you do. They have to hate you for doing these things of the Most High Yahuwah. So when it comes to their judgment day, they have no answer for it. None. When they get ready to boil forever, ever. Their lasting impression, their lasting thought is, I mock somebody who's trying to get me to do it the right way. I slandered somebody who's doing the way the Most High has encouraged all of us to do and all of us to be. That's when you read chapter 7, the book of Ezra. I think it's the third book. I am not sure off the top of my head. But it talks about when people die, that there's seven ways that they endure this afterlife before the eternal judgment. When they die, depending on how they live, every soul, every ruach that the Most High has created in people comes up to him. This is why I had this whole thing about people being cloned. Because in order to be cloned, the Most High would have to put a ruach in a clone, because we are all of ruach and all of soul. And only the Most High has the ability to create a human being and put a ruach in him. Animals don't have a ruach. They don't have a soul to be saved. They're just animals. But the Most High has created his creation, his man creation, to have a ruach, to have a soul. Man cannot duplicate what the Most High has made. Regardless if they told you they cloned and all that, regardless if you think Joe Biden is a clone and all that, that's just facial reconstruction to pass him off as somebody that's younger. They used him, they used his face to make him seem younger, to appeal younger to younger audiences. That's the only way that we're ever going to swallow this old man being in the White House for that time period, is for him to look young. And obviously, you could tell the way he acted, he didn't act the way his face was reconstructed. He acted completely like a 90-year-old man, because he is old. The whole thing about Jim Carrey, all these celebrities are going under the knife, trying to appear younger. They have to chase youthfulness. If they don't chase youthfulness, they will be forever forgotten. Especially if they feel like they're not secure within themselves the way their career has been ending. Like Jack Nicholson, look at Jack Nicholson. That man don't care how much weight he gets. That man at courtside games he liked the old, he liked the Big Lebowski. That man don't care what he looked like. He's satisfied with where his career has gone. He's satisfied. But if you look at Bradley Cooper, you look at all these young actors, and they're knowing that their youth is fleeing from them because time is sped up. So they're trying to chase youthfulness because they don't feel that their career should be over. Jim Carrey has been in the game since Living Color for some of us. This is how we knew Jim Carrey. We knew Jim Carrey through In Living Color. He's been on the scene that long. But all the blood sacrificing that he's done with his girlfriends or wives or people that he was around, he knows that his career is not yet done. He knows he has a little bit more to give, a little bit more comedy. Nobody wants to be in the spotlight and then have that spotlight taken from them and you don't no longer hear about them. So they have to chase being youthful. Why would they need to create a clone for Jim Carrey when we've seen them sacrifice celebrities? If anybody would clone, they would clone people that would actually make money. Kobe Bryant makes money. Alive on the scene, Kobe Bryant makes money. Regardless if he's not playing or not, he makes money. He could end up being, they could have made him a coach. They could have made him a college coach. They could have funneled this NIL money through whatever program he went, just like they did with Deion Sanders. They could have cloned him. They left money on the table by taking Kobe off the chessboard, pun intended. Why would they need to clone Jim Carrey? You think there are enough funny people out there that they can just bring up? Why would they need to clone Joe Biden? Especially when they knew his time was going to be but for 4 years. I don't know why people think as soon as they see somebody's face differently and all that, forget that time is moving so fast. And what we've seen these people in their youthful stages is not what they're going to look like in 5 or 10 years' time. So why would they need to clone celebrities, especially when the beast system and Satan wants all the glory and the worship for himself? Why would they need celebrities after a while? Anyway, back to Ezra. And therefore, Ezra... Let me start with the 24, verse 24. But his Torah have they despised and denied his covenants. In his statutes have they not been faithful and have not performed his works. I've seen so many Christians whine, complain, and bitch about, oh, this is a works doctrine. They talking about the works gospel. It's not. The Most High himself saying you need to perform works. What are works? Is he asking you to grab a Bible and stand out on the street corner and tell everybody to repent and come back to the kingdom? You could do the works anywhere. You could do the works in your house and not ever have to leave your house. The works is praying. The works is the feast days. The works is the Shabbats. The works is being a good person, a good neighbor, a good friend, a good father, a good wife. Those are works. That is the work. If you have the Sefer, you should just type in widow and fatherless. And you would be amazed how many scriptures that the Most High keeps telling the Israelites, do good to the fatherless, judge the fatherless, plead the cause of the fatherless, look after the widow, do good to the widow, watch over the widow. Because the Most High knew that if you leave a woman with no man, she'll get into something. After having a man, she'll get into what? Whoredom, being an adulteress, or just being a bitter woman. If you take a man out of that picture, if that woman is having a man, and if you look at the way relationships are and the way single women are making these posts about not having enough men at these little single events that they go to, oh, you could see how the wickedness would just erupt from there. The most of the wickedness you see out of women is coming from single women. It's not coming from women who are virgins. It's coming from women who once had a man. So that's why the Most High is trying to get us to come around as a community to embrace widowhood or women that's going through their widowhood so they don't disrupt the frequency or the pureness of the rest of the nation because she don't got no man. Then the fatherless. Look at what the world is with fatherless children. Look at what Satan has done with fatherless children. Look at the prison system with fatherless children. All these rappers, fatherless children. If we don't look after them, this is what they be. This is what it will come to. Those are works. Behold, and therefore, Ezra, for the empty are empty things, and for the full are the full things. For the empty are empty things, and for the full are the full things. So if my life is filled up with things that I'm doing for Yahuwah, I should receive full things. Am I right? If the promise is coming from the full things, I should receive the full. Now, if most of your works is whatever nonsense you do in this world, which are empty, which do not come from the hand of Yahuwah, then what do you think you should get as a reward? You think you should get the full things if you denied what those full things are? Or should you get the empty? So if you do none of the statutes or ordinances, or you do it half-assed, you should get half-assed blessings. I think that's fair. I think that's as righteous as he is and judges righteously, that's what you should get. You should get whatever you put into scripture. You should get whatever you put into this world. So if you're putting more into this world, you are getting nothing out of it. And most of you are not happy, and your happiness is one way and the other way, and the other day you're happy, another day you're sad. It's because you're too ingrained in this world. You're absorbing too much of this world. And like I said, I'm at a flow state. I have my happy and sad moments and mad moments and all that. But at the end of the day, it's my Ruach that leads me. My Ruach leads me, not my emotions, my feelings. My Ruach leads me. And people who are ingrained in this world, they rely on the emotions of this world. They rely on how this world makes them feel. So you're getting empty things and you're searching for the full. If you're not doing full things, you're never going to be happy. When you're empty, you can't fill it. No matter what you see, no matter what you like, no matter what you love, no matter what you do, if it's empty things that are coming from this world, you're never going to be happy, ever. You're never going to get what you're looking for. Because he up there who watches over you, who loves you, is going to withhold you from full things until you understand that. That's why I said there's no time period from this with this adoption process. You would like to speed it up and catch these blessings before he flipped the table over. But if you have proven that you aren't prepared to do the full things, then you will sit there with your mouth poked out, upset and mad that these things happen to you, where you suffer straight things with no way to be satisfied with the full things he has for you. Because you either choose not to do the things that are full, you don't think it's cool to do the things that are full, or you don't want to give up your ego, your arrogance, or who you are as a person, your pride, whatever causes you not to give up the empty things of this world, you will receive exactly what you deserve. And whosoever is delivered from the foresaid evils shall see my wonders. For my son Yahusha shall be revealed with those that be with him, and they that remain shall rejoice within 400 years. So in Genesis, he talks about the 400-year affliction of his children. Now he's saying, when Yahusha comes back, we will rejoice within 400 years. Rejoice within 400 years. So everything is going to balance itself out. And people, again, atheists, get online talking about, oh, going up to heaven, like, you know, it's stupid to believe that people actually know that they're going to go up to heaven. We're not going up nowhere. I think Brother Ron made an excellent video talking about new heaven and new Jerusalem coming down to earth. What is Yahusha coming back for? If he went up and he said he's going to come back, he never said he's going to go back up again. Because the verse right after that says, after these years shall my son Mashiach die. and all men that have life. He's coming back to have a to live amongst us. He's coming back to live amongst us. We're not going nowhere. I don't know why people say, oh, we're going up to heaven. We're going up yonder. We're going to that upper room. He's bringing it to us. He's scorching this earth, burning it up so he can bring it to us. If that was the case, Most High would be powerful enough. He's like, all right, I'm just going to rapture all my children away and I'm going to destroy this world. And we're just going to live in the highest, in the holy of holies. He's laying his heavens bare himself. And he's going to bring it down so he can live amongst us. So he can be our Yahuwah, be our Adonai with the branch of David. Hebrews 11, 6 through 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to Yahuwah must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to Yahuwah must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I know I'm not in the wrong with searching the land, doing these feast days, doing these statues, these ordinances, and these offerings. I know I'm not. Diligently seek him. I'm not on here making excuses why I'm not doing nothing. If I see it in scripture, I'm going to do it. If I find it, I'm doing it. By faith, Noah, being warned of Yahuwah of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He condemned the world. He condemned what he saw. Noah saw exactly how we see this world. Like, damn, they doing all this wickedness for 120 years? Even when I told them that they should change from what they should be doing, they still doing it. All these giants running around here, it must have been a crazy sight in the days of Noah. Giants running around here, sinning with birds, beasts, man sleeping with animals, then sleeping with their mother, then sleeping with their children, then sleeping with their sisters. I mean, y'all can't even fathom that type of wickedness out in the open. It ain't like they were doing it in houses, condominiums, mansions. They doing this in tents, caves, out in the open. Imagine walking around, you just see, I don't even want to fathom, I don't even want to bring up what I would see. But just know there would be some all type of wickedness going on at the same time. And not even Noah and himself, like, he's not even judging them now. Why should I build this ark? Why should I fear Yahuwah? He obviously not dealing with these people. And I'm seeing these people do this wickedness every single day for 125 years. Why should I ever think that anything is going to change? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. So even Abraham, Father Abraham, went through his adoption process or his isolation process, because once he knew he was raised up into a household that was full of idols, the Most High loved Abraham so much. He's like, know what? I'm going to pull you away from this. Get ready to mourn your mother and father and your relatives, your friends. I'm going to pull you away from this. If you obey me, I'm going to pull you away from this. I'm going to give you a whole land by yourself. One man. An entire land by himself. Now, you want to know what that land looks like. If you go to the real Euphrates River, which is over there by the Gold Coast, the great river Niger, you go a little bit there, and you make a straight line across to the Nile and everything down. Real Euphrates in the West Africa, across to the Nile and down. That is Abraham's inheritance. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Yitzhak and Yaakov, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is Yahuwah. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The only way Sarah would have understood that promise, understood that faith, if she was around Abraham, trusted in Abraham, respected Abraham, honored Abraham, for her to understand this promise. If she was disrespectful, if she dishonored Abraham, she would have been the same way that Hagar would have been. That would have been her route. She would have been in the wilderness with that child in a foreign and strange land with no inheritance. But instead, because of the path of Abraham and how it led them in trouble and got them out of trouble through the faith that Abraham had to Yahuwah, they receive and their seed after them the eternal promise. So again, that wraps up what I told you about when you have a seed, you start that process, you start that new generation, you start those eternal blessings that sure enough will come through your obedience. You may think it's a light thing because you think of it as yourself, but you don't understand the generations that come from you, that branch that was now purged, burned, and now been put water on it, now is able to blossom and produce fruit for years and time to come. It all comes from you. If you start the obedience now, that means your children won't suffer with disobedience, and your children's children and your children's children after that. Because if the Most High can give eternal curses to certain descendants or certain bloodlines, he has proven to us through scripture that he can give eternal blessings upon one bloodline through the promise of Abraham. So if you're not thinking about yourself, your pride, your ego, or whatever you do within this world or do for the Most High, if you take yourself out of it and understand that you are setting yourself up and your generations after you and your seed after you so they don't have to suffer spiritually, then their financial troubles will take care of themselves. They will never have to want for anything. You'll never have to set aside anything for them, because the obedience is where the treasures are. The obedience is where the riches are. The Most High is not going to flip over my table because he knows I need to offer to him. If he knows I'm doing new moons, Shabbats, and offerings, and sending smoke offerings, he's going to make sure there's meat in my house. This is the betterment of the light. If he wants us to be a light to the other nations, he's going to make sure my light shines brighter at a time of drought and a time of scarceness. Because he knows I don't, I'm quoting the scripture, I don't live off bread alone. He's not going to wait for me to come to the fullness of my light and say, okay, I'm good with you. Now I'm going to flip this table over so now I don't get any of the offerings or any of the worship that I've told you to do. That's literally a decision for you guys to make. That's almost like I'm beating a dead horse with the whole offering things, but, and you see it so much in scripture, and you see, obviously, that's what he loves. Even when he says he don't like it because we profaned it over a time, and he said that we should come back to it, and he said that in the end, you will come back to it. That's when you practice the obedience and not setting just up for yourself, but for the entire generations that come from you. Even you single men and you single women who feel that you're never going to find your covering or find your ishai or your helpmeet, the obedience starts now. Once you're obedient to the Father, everything else works out, especially for you single women. If you learn to have Yahuwah as your spiritual husband, then you will know and what it feels like and know what it's needed of you and called for you to be obedient to the man that the Most High gives you. Because he has to answer to the Most High of how he treats you. So you might as well learn how to serve and be a husband, be a wife and an Ishai for Yahuwah, so you know how to be an Ishai for the man he gives you. I don't see it ever working out for some of you women who who never respected men your entire life, or you don't have fathers that you ever respected, and then think you're going to get a man of the Most High Yahuwah, and it's going to click for you how to act. Because you're going to definitely act the way you've been acting in relationships with men before. So when you are given a man of Yah, you are going to be a hindrance, a thorn in his side, because you're dealing with him as if you're dealing with a man in the world that you grew up in, and not necessarily the world that he has for you. So if you are a single woman, you should take the time to start learning to be a wife to the Most High Yahuwah, so he can prepare you to be a wife for the man he gives you.